Welcome to A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library podcast brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library, coming to you from downtown Ferndale, a mile north of Detroit, Michigan. I'm Jeff Milo, and my producer Kelly Bennett is here. We have two special guests, Dr. Danya Bazzi, the superintendent of Ferndale Public Schools, and our head librarian of the Youth Services Department, Jordan Wright. We're going to be talking about the fact that this library is a district library and in partnership with our public schools, the battle of the books, and a lot more. Thanks for listening. All right, this is another episode of A Little Too Quiet, and thanks everyone for listening. Our librarian Jordan Wright is here. Say hello, Jordan.
Hello, everyone.
I think Jordan's a little nervous to be on the microphone right now. Jordan, you okay?
I'm feeling okay.
Jordan is in his element when he is doing story time and performing music for kids and doing, you know, answering reference questions for the kids, but I gotta loosen him up.
Yeah, right? being recorded is always a little uncomfortable.
It's all good. And Dr. Danya Bazzi's here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I've never gotten to interview a superintendent before. My regard of a superintendent was when I was in grade school, and they were like in charge of the school. They were like higher than the principal, so I had to really behave if they ever came to visit. Like, I was a little intimidated by superintendents.
It's a little bit different with me. I'm a little bit more accessible to students, and that was one of my big goals. Is when I was growing up, I really didn't know my superintendent, so yeah. Connecting to kids is an important aspect of the job. So
yeah,
the goal is for kids to know who I am and know that I'm a trusted adult.
Because I don't think the superintendent was a presence when I was in grade school in the 90s, and that Jordan was saying the superintendent was going to come to the library. I thought that was a big thing already. I was like, that's awesome. She's on the podcast. But yeah, let's talk to you. So you're coming up on almost 3 years now here in Ferndale.
That's correct.
Right? And you'd emphasize early on that those making connections with the community was going to be important to you. You know, can you talk about why that was a key mission and motivation for you and why it's important to the role of a superintendent?
You know, I think connecting with the community is very important as you're helping students guide them through their educational process. School leaders really have to also be involved in the community and be community leaders because they have to connect with students outside of school, right? They have a lot of interests that sometimes are outside of the school day or outside of the school walls. And so we want our students to know we stay connected to them wherever they're at, whether they're at school, at home, in the community. That what they do is important and that we're open and accessible. So I think it's very, very important to have a strong community partnership with the municipalities that we serve and in the school district we serve for. Mm-hmm. And so having that outreach is critical as we educate our students.
Yeah, but that must be something you're passionate about already. That can't be something you just discover when you get on the job as superintendent. You had to know connections weren't going to be important to you.
Absolutely, because you know it's the old adage of, you know, students learn better from people that they like, respect, connect to, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important that we connect to our students so that they in turn are able to achieve their goals. So it's to ensure that they're successful through their educational journey. That relationship is key. Yeah. Often you hear rigor, relevance in terms of standards, but you have to have relationships to get to rigor.
Yeah, and we have a relationship between the school here in Ferndale and the library. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Yeah.
But I really want to talk to you because you've got Battle of the Books coming up. You know, we're going to get into the fact that, you know, this library became a district library. Kelly, give me a number single 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We're going to have our fact checker get that. But however, while we're doing that, can you tell us about what Battle of the Books is coming up? The superintendent is here. You're doing something rather big for the fifth graders. What is it? When is it?
Sure. So this is the third year of Battle of the Books at Ferndale Upper Elementary, which we call FUEL. Mm-hmm. All the FUEL fifth graders are invited to participate, though it's not mandatory. The help of their teachers, the librarians here selected 6 chapter books. Each year, we purchase enough copies for all the students to get their hands on them. And then we encourage them to form teams of 2 to 4 students and start reading. The goal is for students to become experts in the chosen books by the time we actually do the battle, which is a 2-round, like a trivia style competition. Mm-hmm. And we think this is great for struggling readers because you can split the workload amongst your friends and teammates. You know, if reading 6 books over 2 months is not what they think they can do, And it kind of creates an incentive to read books that they otherwise might not pick up.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to pick books that are published within the last few years and that are still going to be relevant to the students.
Yeah.
But obviously our focus here is literacy and getting students excited about reading. But we also hope that by encouraging them to work in teams and allowing them the creativity to come up with goofy team names and cool theme costumes, that will also give them a little confidence boost in their reading abilities too.
Yeah. Just working with others, that's another boost there. That's something we all got to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, well,
I'm still working on it.
Well, you are awesome at it. Now, this is the library podcast, so we have to talk about libraries. And I have to go back to Dr. Bazzi. When you're in the career of an educator, I think that path seems closely adjacent to the mission of public libraries. Can you talk about the impact libraries had on your life, or maybe just share what you've come to appreciate about them?
Yeah, I can remember as far back as I can remember my childhood. I can remember my mom and dad take me to the library and the excitement of being able to pick, you know, pick a book out that I know that they would either read to me or I'd be able to read on my own. And every week when we went to go get a new set, it was something that really I looked forward to and couldn't wait to that day to be able to, one, you know, go explore and really feel like I could pick anything I wanted. And there was no price tag, no cost, and that I had access to a wealth of information. I could take it home with me, go on an adventure, and then do it all again the next week. So some of my most fondest memories are when my mother read to me as a child. I don't think that can replace any wealth, anything can replace those memories.
Yeah, that's the connection you went back to there. There's something special about that. Jordan, you must feel that with story times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love hearing stories like that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is, it's kind of ironic too, though, because my mother tried and tried and tried to get me to read. And she'd drag me to the library and she'd come home with stacks of books. I'm like, you have to read one of these.
And you're a librarian now.
I'm a librarian now. Something happened.
It worked.
Yeah, I guess it worked.
Eventually.
Yeah, I was reluctant.
Yeah. But can you talk about your experience as being, you know, sort of a partnership with the Ferndale Schools? So we're a district library now. Why is it important that students encounter you and other your youth services librarians within the walls of their school?
Oh, yeah. Sure. So we have a lot of really regular, and I'm using air quotes, library families.
Oh, I love that.
That we see sometimes a couple times a day,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, at least multiple times a week. But I'm always shocked by how frequently I realize when I'm in the schools that, like, I don't know, like, 90% of these kids. So I think with Dr. Bazzi's help, we've been able to get into the schools more frequently for outreach and for checkouts. And it's great because we get to know the kids and the kids start to recognize us. And many of them are starting to realize what the library can do for them and look forward to us coming.
Yeah. So,
and then for any number of reasons, I mean, just getting to the library can be a barrier for a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So just like getting here physically.
Mm-hmm.
So we think it's really important that we had the opportunity to take our services to them when we can.
That's right. You know, I saw a photo of you at an outreach event and you had the biggest grin on your face. You must really enjoy it. I mean, it's one thing to encounter kids here in our walls, but when you go to visit them, it's like, it must be something special.
It is great. It is great.
And then, again, this goes back to me having never really seen my superintendent when I was in grade school. I never saw librarians come into my school, which is really great. Dr. Bazzi, could you talk about what you see as some of the worthwhile outcomes of a public school being in partnership with their library like this?
You know, I think the biggest positive with regards to the partnership, and I echo your sentiments that Jordan has really been, he's pushed a lot of initiatives within the school, making it accessible to all of our students, and I mean all. That's also the beauty of this library is that it's an area district library and really where all are welcome, all of our students. I love the program that if you're a Ferndale Public School student, you have access to get a library card, which is unique,
mm-hmm.
And shows how much as a community we value diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I think, you know, those partnerships are, they're instrumental. I mean, they need, the one thing that library gives is an even playing field. It's almost a human right to have access of information and knowledge, and mm-hmm. That's what a library does. It's
yeah.
a public service that it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter how much you make, you have access to the same materials and knowledge. And putting that out there now for our students and actually going, you know, rather than waiting for them to come, for the library to be coming into our schools and inviting our students in, making them feel welcome after school, giving them a place to study, really says a lot about this community and really how proud I am to be a part of it.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, though, because I was, just to throw a question sort of off guard to you, I was going to ask what you just loved about being here in Ferndale now.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think is people's thoughtfulness towards every single individual and really the willingness to go above and beyond to meet a student's individual needs. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that the student needs to be successful? And really the entire community rallies around to say, what can we do?
Yeah.
You look on Facebook, and if a parent says, I can't pick up my kid today to take him to an event, there's 10 people saying, I got it, I got it, I got it. So that's the type of community Ferndale is, and it, as they say, it takes a village.
Yeah. And then lastly, Battle of the Books is coming out March 26th. Excited?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we did become a district library December 2014. So you were almost right. Five years.
5 years ago.
Yeah. You know, could you tell me how you describe the role of a superintendent? Because it was always a mystery to me as a kid before I let you go.
You know, when I took the position, I always saw it as, and the board president at the time, Jen Latosh, called it the lead learner position.
Ah, I like that.
And I've ran with that since I've been here. You're always looking to improve and learn about the changing needs of students, the changing needs of post-secondary life, and what kids need to be successful once they leave Ferndale Public Schools. So mm-hmm. to me, that's how I see the position, as somebody who's a servant leader and is here to work for your community and do whatever it takes to accomplish the goals and the mission of the district.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I have an improvisational question again that you guys aren't ready for, but I especially think Battle of the Books is great because I worry, and maybe you can fill in my perception, I worry that sort of that age group, fifth grade, but also fourth grade, sixth grade, eighth grade, seventh grade, gets forgotten when it comes to that sort of drive to boost literacy. I think when people think of librarians, they clearly think of early literacy story times, age 0 to 5, and they think adult reference librarians are helping the post-college crowd. I feel like it is important to reach that age group especially.
Well, Jordan and I, last summer, Jordan was kind enough to assist me. We did a book study with Ferndale Middle School students over the summer, and we connected with kids over the summer and met with them once a month and asked them, you know, critical thinking questions around the reading. And again, that was a great partnership between him and I, and we were able to connect with some kids and help drive their curiosity of reading.
That's great. I believe in the mission of the library. I believe in the mission of schools. Now we're together. This is great.
It's perfect.
Yes. Perfect. All right. Well, this episode will continue with more conversations with a youth services librarian, as well as the sixth grade teacher, Mr. Aaron Blatt, is going to be here talking about the middle school book club. And you've been listening to a chat right now with the superintendent, Dr. Danya Bazzi, Jordan Wright, head of youth services. Stay tuned. To A Little Too Quiet. This is the Ferndale Library Podcast, and I'm Jeff Milo, still with you. You just heard a chat with Dr. Danya Bazzi, the superintendent of the Ferndale Public School System here. Now we have a teacher. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, this is Aaron Blatt, sixth grade teacher.
Yep, sixth grade at Ferndale Middle School.
That sounds like for me, not being a teacher, a scary age to try to deal with.
You know, I hear that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. I don't think that I could do anything else except teach middle schoolers. I love it. They're just perfect human beings.
Terrific.
With a lot of emotions, and they're just, I just love them.
I don't know where I got that perception. I know I was a perfect angel when I was 12.
Yeah, I was not an angel.
No, no. And Youth Services Librarian Elissa Zimmer is here.
Hello, hello. Thank you. I can also vouch that Mr. Blatt is very good at what he does, and it does take a very special person to deal with pubescent adolescent.
Thanks, Elissa. That's really nice of you to say.
You guys are already friendly because we are in partnership. This is an area district library, and the schools and the libraries are in alliance. Isn't that great?
I think it's amazing, actually.
But you're on a library podcast, Aaron, so you do have to talk about libraries. You became a teacher, so I imagine you went to libraries a lot. You probably appreciate libraries. Can you talk about the role they played in your life?
You know, Jeff, the funny thing is I hated reading until I was about 17, 16. So, you know, and I hate to be that. It wasn't until I read Catcher in the Rye and I saw a bunch of swear words on a book that I thought, oh, that's, I like that. And it really spoke to me. And that's why it's funny. I always try to find like young adult literature that has a swear word or two in it. And without fail, you know, the word hell, like Catherine Patterson in Bridge to Terabithia, which is a possible book. And our book club reading list, the word hell occurs maybe twice. And it's just, it's real, you know. And I like when authors don't speak down to kids. I like when they present real characters. Looking back, you know, I've read Catcher in the Rye like 10 times. It's not the most, it's not as profound as it was when I was 17, but it still holds some weight, you know, in my mind.
And you still don't like phonies?
I still don't like phonies.
That's right.
So, but any, you know, libraries, I, you know, I went to them, but they were not a big part of my childhood. Like they just weren't. I grew up in Birmingham, Bloomfield. I went to the West Bloomfield Library. I remember, you know, and my dad was a teacher, but it just wasn't like a big part of my life. And the school librarians, I still remember being in elementary school and my school librarian did not like me.
Oh,
I was a bit of a problem student.
Ah.
And so, and I, and she was like this old lady from Texas. And I just remember she had this like Southern accent. And I don't remember her name for the life of me. She had like this big blonde hair that was sort of, you know, but she was old. And she just didn't like me. And I remember trying to check out Clifford the Big Red Dog as like a first or second, maybe first grader. And just getting a little pushback.
Oh, man. I really like that you are now a teacher, but you used to be a Hellraiser.
I am and was, and many, I'm friends with a few of my former teachers on Facebook, and some of which have become, you know, some friends, and yes, many people would not believe that I'm sitting here now.
I don't think it's an uncommon experience for the age group of 8 to 18 to drift away from the library for a while, because I know that I only came back to the library when I had to do like big research projects.
Sure.
I wasn't a regular library user after the time I was seven.
I know it, Alyssa really wants to talk, but I do want to say this. When I was in college, I went to Eastern Michigan, which, you know, it did me well, served me well.
Good school for teachers.
It is. And that's part of the reason why I went. It was a teacher college. And we had a brand new library and I spent a lot of time there. Group projects.
It's a rad library.
It was. I mean, and it was rad in 1998 when it first opened. You know,
the I sound like I'm BSing, but I went there for a year.
Okay.
I know it.
Yeah. The Bruce T. Howe Library or something like that. I think the guy who owns Discount Tire.
Oh, really?
I think so. And we digress. What did you have to say, Alyssa?
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about how that age group is so hard to reach.
Yes.
Librarians. What do you think?
Yeah, so it's actually one of my favorite age groups to work with. I think what really makes the middle school age group specifically special is that they're really taking their first grasp at independence. So within reason, though, they can't drive, right?
Right.
So they're still somewhat dependent on their parents, but they're really looking for a space where they can just hang out away from the prying eyes of most adults. And I feel like that's where librarians come in, is we're really trying to provide that safe space for them to express themselves and to figure themselves out. Cause man, the hormones are flying.
Right.
And we just want to provide both that space, but also that mentorship as well, being a good role model for students. And I think that this sort of partnership works really well because, again, they can't drive. So transportation can be an issue getting them actually to the library. So if we can bring our programs to the middle school and capitalize on a space that they're already in and with a teacher that they trust, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
That was very well said, and totally agree with everything that, and I've, the lack of mobility, I mean, Ferndale's a small town, but we actually have three cities that sort of feed into Ferndale. You know, we have Royal Oak Township, Oak Park, and then Ferndale proper. And, you know, Alyssa and Jordan being able to come to my, to our school and, you know, be with the kids and develop relationships with kids has been, I just think it's been a really important part of some of the success we've had. We've seen a little dip in our book club this year, but I want to also, when she, you know, some of the like party, like the Halloween thing you guys did, the upcoming un-Valentine thing, I think you'll probably get a strong showing for that. Kids do need safe, fun spaces, you know, and that's one of my biggest complaints. We have clubs, you know, I run a D&D club, Ferndale Middle School D&D club. There's a plug.
Right on.
And there's other clubs. We have a debate club. We have anime club. We have all these other after school sort of things to, you know, all the different tastes. Because, you know, kids, I think when we all were in school, I don't remember the clubs. I remember the sports, and that was a thing for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, middle school is definitely that weird time in development where, you know, you want that independence. You said it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And you're not quite out of, you don't get it. So,
and I would also jump off of that by saying, I don't remember being this busy or having that many options when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're already competing with so many different activities. And so, again, it's important that we capitalize off of the teacher that they already know and being in that space.
Yeah.
We can't pull them in yet another direction by saying, come to the library, when we don't know if they're going to be able to drive, if they're allowed to walk or bike or what have you. So let's meet them where they are.
Yeah, I don't remember even getting really engaged as a sixth grader to read, let alone recreationally read. It was very heavy on the book reports. Write a report about a famous person or whatever. Right. Research.
Right, and I mean, education has obviously changed since we were in school.
Yeah,
and I think for the better. I think a lot for the better. I think a lot of people, you know, had bad experiences in school. And so in obviously modern educational research, best practices, I won't bore this podcast with the buzzword, you know, the newest buzzwords. But, you know, I think, you know, my kids don't do a traditional book report. In fact, when we do nonfiction reading, we create a zine, which is like, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So that's, you know, like, you know, that's a term usually applied to like, the DIY punk rock days, right? And so I apply it to boring old nonfiction texts, and my kids are creating a zine based on usually a topic that they enjoy researching. It turns into something, you know, real, like tangible, they can touch. And it's, you know, some of the sort of things that would exist in a thing that you may remember as a sixth grade book report are there, but it's modernized, you know, and it's more personalized, I think, too. And I mean, my thing is that I just want, you know, I wish there were Alyssa's, you know, connected to me when I was in middle school. I think I may have turned out better.
Yeah.
So, no, I turned out okay.
Yeah.
My mom and dad think so.
What?
I think I know what I mean. I just think that, you know, intellectual enrichment is important. And I don't know that I had enough of that growing up. I think I wanted it. And I craved it, but I didn't have it. And so, and that's the beauty of like Alyssa coming to our school. You know, we have, Alyssa is very, she's different than me. She is.
Thank you.
More interesting.
More chill.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm pulling it out of the kids and wanting to engage in a different way than her. And she just lets them be where they are. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good.
So you pedal and she breaks?
I think that's a good way to describe it.
Something.
Yeah, that's accurate. I just wanted to jump off.
Another thing I said.
Well, so yeah, libraries are obviously about books and about literacy, but I think where the partnership comes in is we can kind of jump off from offering book clubs and stuff like that. But Mr. Blatt referenced the Teen Halloween program that we did, which it was only an hour and a half after hours on a Friday night. The kids honestly didn't need all the activities that I had planned. They were just so happy to sit and chill and eat pizza. Yeah. And so I think I just want to plug the beauty of libraries doing things beyond the book. Mm-hmm. So again, offering that chance for the kids to socialize. We literally did pumpkin bowling and they destroyed a pie pumpkin against the walls of our community room. So who would have thought that we do that kind of stuff at the library?
Right.
So yeah, we offer so much more than reading.
Yeah.
And I feel like those are the type of things that are you know, insert phrase here, going to create lifelong library users.
Right.
So we want to keep them engaged, whether that's based on a book or based on, hey, I had fun doing this activity with my friends and it happened to be at the library.
Right. And the other perception of a library, librarian is that they are in stasis behind a desk, let alone not even going out into the walls of a school, you know. It kind of sounds like you when you do that visit, you're almost like another teacher then.
Yes and no. I feel like what Mr.
Bet you weren't anticipating that when you got through librarian school.
You know, I never wanted to be youth services. This is kind of an aside, but I kind of fell into it. But anyway.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here and to do what I do. But yeah, I feel like teacher has a lot of connotations of structure and, like, you know, you have to discipline if kids are misbehaving and stuff like that. And I mean, you still have to do that and it can be a little bit tricky when you're a librarian, but I think it'll kind of allows you to develop, like Mr. Blatt said, certain relationships with students and you get to be a little bit more real probably than the confines of school.
Mm-hmm. They call her Alyssa. I mean, not to interject here, but
if they called me Ms. Zimmer, I would feel like my grandmother, like I can't do it.
So they call me Mr. Blatt. I'm a parent in the district, a resident in the district. I'm friends with some of their parents, you know, and they still call me Mr. Blatt.
But she's first name basis.
Yeah. And I feel like I've seen the way some of them talk to her and, you know, and I sometimes get that, but I am, like she said, the connotations around, I am a teacher through and through and I am okay with that. And I think I've done my best and relationships, I think, period, in this day and age with kids is an extremely integral part of, like, getting them hooked on whatever it is you're in the business of peddling books. I'm in the business of peddling books and other stuff, too. You know,
oops, history and whatever else.
Yes.
Social studies.
Well, I'm actually ELA only, but, you know, relationships and kids respond to authenticity, you know, to authentic. They know they have really good detectors of. They're good phony detectors.
You know, I will say that in my previous position, I actually had a teen approach me for advice. She was feeling frozen out from her friend group of girls. And so that was the first time that had ever happened to me. And being in that position, you know, I felt really honored that I was so trusted with giving someone who was 13 or 14 and, like, really figuring herself out and figuring her dynamic with her peers out. That was really special that she felt that she trusted me enough to do that.
And I think that it's because you're a librarian. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the setting you're in and who you are. I don't know if I'd be comfortable enough, no offense to Aaron, coming to a teacher about that, but I could see myself talking to a librarian.
Yeah, it's a different, I mean, Alyssa and Jordan, I think, and I know you guys aren't going to stay young forever. But you're currently, you know, I think, and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get weird here. But, I mean, I know all the bad teachers and bad librarians of our past. We've all had them, you know. I mean, they all started as young, idealistic teachers.
I'm going to stay cool.
She's going to stay cool.
She's
going to
stay cool.
Yes.
So I just, you know, I think we have a self-awareness maybe that maybe some didn't. So I think it's been, like I said, I've watched her interact with the kids, and it's been really cool.
Yeah, but I think keeping that sensitivity is important because I was going to ask you about how, you know, the world is moving so fast, technology is moving so fast, kids can have so many different phones and apps and social medias and video games, and, you know, being a teacher can be probably overwhelming because they are potentially moving faster than you are. It is very important for us in our roles as a librarian and teacher to, for lack of a better phrase, remain cool.
My thing, they call me Mr. Blog. That's as a joke. Actually, the eighth grade English teacher, Mr. Purinak, makes fun of me, and he calls me Mr. Blog to his eighth grade students. And so I know it's a little bit. He's throwing shade. It's okay.
Okay.
I still, you know, much respect for Mr. Purinak. He's a very well-respected and well-loved teacher in the district and has been around a lot longer than I have. So I blog with my kids. That's one of the things that I do. And blogging is... there's a website called KidBlog is what I use. And KidBlog is just like this really fantastic way to protect the evils of the world from the kids, which there are many, but yet make them feel like the kids love to show off. They can hit publish and it publishes to our entire class or they can publish it just to me. Most of them don't. They still, even knowing that it's, you know, published to the whole class, some of them struggle with, like, going over the hump of, you know, public, like, they're publicly displaying their writing.
Yeah.
Know? But they do, I mean, it's Kid Blog, which my colleague Elaine Zold, another Ferndale legend teacher, who's a really inspiration. She's a social studies teacher, sixth grade, and she's one of my partners. We have a great little core sixth grade team. Mike Sigler, teacher of the year, Ferndale last year. Elaine Zold and Michelle Morden. Those are like my three, we've all been sixth grade teachers since day one. And so, but Kid Blog, I think, like I said, Elaine, just in passing, we were talking, oh, I used to use this website called Kid Blog, and I found out about it and I just ran with it and kind of made it my own and have used it. You know, I'll direct teach or do something like old school or whatever. I actually teach a more workshop model, but it's in the middle school. So it's not a traditional workshop. I only have the kids for 55 minutes. Anyways, it really is a nice way to break up the week. Kids love it's authentic writing. They get to write what they want to write about typically, but I teacherize it. And, you know, I jokingly say to the kids, here, you know, here's Mr. Blatt sucking the fun out of something, and I'll give them some sort of directive. And they are great at following those directions. But I'm all about like agency and voice. And Kid Blog has been one of the biggest tools for me to give kids some voice in the classroom and also a public voice, you know, yeah. Which is important. Kids like to be heard. I also do another thing, and do I have to stop?
Oh, no, no.
I have another thing I do.
You can tell us about one more thing, Aaron.
Okay. So the other cool tech thing that I do is, you know, our district really does try to, you know, we have some smart people in the upper, another plug, Dina Rochelot, a few other, Tom Mays. There's a lot of other, Danya Bazzi.
Yeah.
There's some smart people who are above my pay grade. And even, you know, my boss, Seth Petty and Bob Francis. But Dina is the head of curriculum. And a few years ago at a meeting, we had a teacher meeting. We had a thing called Flipgrid. Are you guys familiar with Flipgrid?
Not at all.
Well, you should be.
Sorry.
Flipgrid is really cool. Download the app. Someone's downloading the app right now.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing. It's kids do, or you can do it kids, you can do it with adults. Flipgrid is a thing where I haven't done it as much this year, but a kid can, it's basically like you upload a 30 second to 2.5 minute video. And I was using it to do, so instead of traditional reading logs, I used Flipgrid for a reading log. So the kids would go, they'd go home, they'd read maybe 45 minutes a night, two nights, three nights, whatever. At first, I let them just kind of like do whatever, mm-hmm. and they just had free reign. They talk about what they read that night. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I turned it into, okay, I kind of scripted it a little bit. I saw it getting a little bit too freewheeling and had to suck the fun out of it.
Yeah,
we do. Right. No, we don't. And it really turned into this, the kids who really love to read, which in Ferndale, you know, we definitely have, you know, we have a learning divide. We have kids who want it and we have kids that don't. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people that are trying to figure out how the kids who don't love school, how to make and engage them more. Mm-hmm. And it's not just technology. That's not just the missing piece because we've tried. Right. There's a ton of stuff going on. But, you know, I'll stay focused on Flipgrid and just say it's just another way to get kids out there. They record a video. And then they can actually like respond to each other's videos. And it's just like a really cool thing to watch. When a Flipgrid kind of like takes off and a kid, you know, does a video about a book he or she loves, and then a kid responds to that in a really authentic way, it's a really beautiful thing to watch because the kids are kind of doing it, you know, via the internet, you know, and that's a place where they like to be, you know, so it's sort of Snapchatty, which I don't even know what that is.
I was going to use the phrase Snapchatty to respond. That sounded Snapchatty.
Yep. So it's sort of like that, but it's like, you know, educational.
So. That's good.
So that's 21st century, you know, teaching for you. You know, and there's also some schools of thought that would say, you know, that would argue that, you know, it's good. And I think you guys too, right? I mean, you like to see people with paper books in their hands, right? Because if paper books go away, then why are we even having libraries anymore?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, right. Which circles back to
plenty of things going on here.
Exactly. You're going to cut that out.
No, it's part of the podcast. We want people to have those conversations where they realize just right now, the epiphany, libraries can exist, possibly without books, because we are doing more.
But I sure hope they don't.
No, of course. Of course we want books.
Alyssa's right. I mean, I am old school. Like I do want my kids, and I want to engage them where they are.
Yeah.
And I want to meet them where they are. And I want, you know, them to want to be in my classroom. I want them to walk in with a smile and leave with a smile.
Yeah. You even bring the library to your classroom.
I do.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. We had some different iterations through the years, but now they go to them. Alyssa and Jordan go to the lunchroom.
Yeah, and Alyssa, you never thought you'd be a youth librarian. You also probably never thought you'd be going to schools. How's it been adapting to that? Also, you know, talk about finding great books for middle schoolers, because when I was a middle schooler, I like wanted to read adult books. So yeah. This was the 90s. So I was already trying to, as a 12-year-old, read Michael Crichton and Elmore Leonard.
But there's a lot of factors now, though.
There's more.
So we're very lucky that there's a way bigger variety of books for this age group. And there's been the emergence of a tween collection.
Yeah.
Like tweens. A lot of libraries do separate that out. I feel like it can get a little tricky, though, because you have kids that are reading at vastly different levels, and then they want different subject matter. And this is something that I was going to say about Mr. Blatt as well, is that we get the core group of kids who love to read, but I especially like the fact that he doesn't want us to just be limited to the kids who are automatically going to be interested in this program. And so he's really pushed me to consider what kind of books we are opting in for the middle school book club. So yeah, kids can get a little bit intimidated if a book is too thick. So we're looking for books that aren't, you know, whatever, an inch thick or something that's going to be intimidating for a kid. But also, I think you have to balance that again with engaging subject matter. And, you know, with movements like We Need Diverse Books and stuff like that, that's really going to speak to the population here in Ferndale, because we have a lot of students of color. We have immigrant communities. And also, I want to represent those regardless of if we have those or not.
Right.
And we have our diehards in book club who really want sci-fi or who really want realistic fiction. I'm looking at an adult version of that right now.
Right next to you.
Yep. I especially have started to read the books before I want to recommend them to the kids, because I want to make sure, you know, with these specific criteria that we're really hitting the kids where they're interested.
Alyssa has been an excellent curator of...
Oh. I'm just going to interrupt and say that I've been told that I pick books that are too new.
Ooh.
But I'm trying to
By
stay...
By me?
Yes.
Oh, too new?
I'm trying to stay cutting edge. Like, I'm trying to keep the kids engaged. And yeah, shout out back to Bridge to Terabithia. I am going to read it again.
Good.
To see if we can put a classic in.
Well, I just... So, yes, I think she does... Look, I...
Okay, on mic meeting. Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying... She does have excellent choice in literature, and I did find some of the books to be a little bit on the thick side. And you know, that's, I think, us learning as we're going, in terms of kids do not have the same schedule that I think we did. Alyssa alluded to earlier, kids are very busy, and it's like a real thing, you know, instrument, sport, maybe a religious school engagement or whatever, and it's just like the list goes on and on.
That she's been an excellent curator.
I do. I really do. My favorite book from last year's book club was Jack Chang's See You in the Cosmos. And that was a new book, a local author.
Wow.
And Alyssa and Jordan, I'm going to say it was all Alyssa, set up Skype.
Jordan's not here to defend.
They set up this like Skype with Jack Chen. And it was like, you know, just thinking about it, man. I mean, it was just really an amazing experience. He was awesome. He talked to us for 45 minutes. We had this wonderful conversation via Skype in my classroom. I had the tech people from Ferndale come in and rehook up my camera, whatever that's called, webcam.
Ah.
Webcam.
Yes.
And we had this conversation. Still
cool.
We had this great conversation with this guy, and it really moved me. And his words were really well written. The thing that you know, diverse literature, I still don't know that we've reached, you know, I know that the amount of authors out there that are of color and have diverse perspectives are increasing. And I know the shelves of this library are filled with them, but because this is it's tough.
Basically, you just want to keep everybody engaged where they are and also lift people up from the level that they're at. And so we're trying to find, you know, the right books that are going to push without being too intimidating.
100% of the people that go to book club currently are in honors classes. But speaking to the kids who are not in honors classes is difficult, and it's hard to find the literature to speak to them. The literature's out there. A lot of those kids, though, a lot of them need, you know, it's almost like they need a guided reading book club. Mm-hmm. So where the reading is being done with them, or at least part of it's being done with them or to them, and then they go off and do some too. I think, you know, if we could get the kids in the room, at least give them a push.
Yeah.
We might see more engagement.
How many years have you guys been doing this now? 2 years, 3 years, one
This
year?
Is only our second year. So we're,
so come
and
on.
We didn't even start it, I think, until
mid-year
last year.
This just seems like this is something that's going to be very adaptive, very dynamic. You just figure something out at each year, and it just gets better.
Yes, I agree. You know, look, expecting you guys, like, the reason why I'm here is because every time I write an email to Jordan or Alyssa, whatever I want gets done within a day. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether it's a book list or whatever, I had another thing that I asked, and it just gets done. And you guys are always willing to be here and or be in our school and help support me. So I want to make this better for the community and make this library, you know, this library is an extremely important part of our community. And so.
And that's all the more reason to support libraries in general, because we're lucky enough to have 3 full-time youth librarians, 1 part-time youth librarian. A lot of libraries can't say that much. And we're able to have such a varied collection because we're so well supported by the community and by our millage that there's almost no hard limit to the books that I can buy. And I'm lucky I get to buy what I consider the fun books. Juvenile fiction, graphic novels, picture books. Our picture book collection has just ballooned in the last 2 years.
Yeah. What I'm seeing is the more that Mr. Blatt works with Elissa, the more enlightened he gets. I think that's what you're just.
It's true. I mean, look,
that's
I'm.
That's what I got here.
You know, it's true. I would fancy myself 20 years ago when I was in college as being in tune to what like good current literature is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just an impossibility. I am, you know, I'm not a reader by default. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more of a listener, which may also sound weird because I've done a lot of the talking here today. You know, I like, you know, I'm a music guy, you know, in my heart. But I do, when I get something that I love to read, I get extremely excited about it. Mm-hmm. And so like the Jack Chang book, Bridge to Terabithia, these things, they like sit in my soul and I become part of who I am. And so I want to have that experience for my kids who also, you know, maybe are reluctant readers, because the world is filled with a lot of reluctant readers.
Yeah, true.
I say I'm a reluctant reader, but I read well. And I still am trying to understand. I'm a reading specialist. You know, I have a master's in reading. You know, from Oakland University. I still want to understand. Like, I mean, we have a crisis. Like, adolescent literacy is like, you know, and illiteracy is a current crisis in Michigan. You know, it's a problem. And finding ways to engage, you know, the most disenfranchised groups of people in our society, you know, to empower them, because we all, you know, believe like reading is like this is a gateway to some really powerful good stuff, right? You know, and how do we do that? And that's a question that sometimes keeps me up at night.
One person cannot do it by themselves, and that's where the beauty of school partnerships comes in, because together we can elevate the voice of each other. We can elevate the space that the kids are already in. We'll meet them where we're at, and we'll provide quality programming.
And I totally agree with everything and sign off on everything she just said.
That's
okay,
great.
Bye.
I think there couldn't be a better time to cue the music.
Peace out.
We are running out of time here on the podcast that we call A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library Podcast. This is brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library, and if you want to support this podcast, you can go to ferndalefriends.org. You could join or donate. My guest today has been, well, we did hear from Danya Bazzi earlier and Jordan Wright, librarian and superintendent, respectively, and now Mr. Blatt, sixth grade teacher. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Please have me back.
Youth librarian Elissa Zimmer over here.
Thank you for having me.
Producer Kelly Bennett, and I'm Jeff Milo. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify. You could give us a rating when you're on iTunes. That would help us find more listeners. And the music you're listening to is by John Duffy. So stay tuned, because we're going to have more episodes for you. And we're really glad to have this partnership with Ferndale Public Schools. It's the Ferndale Library Podcast, A Little Too Quiet.